Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. Joining Rachel Malcolm and Chris Patterson this week is Jade Conkle as she returns to the Scotland squad. And we hear from Macron as we launch our new Scotland kits for the 2021-22 season.
Well, delighted to be joined by one of the world stars, world rugby stars, who's been away for a little bit, is now back and thoroughly looking forward to, I'm betting, the games coming up. Jade Conkle's back with us. We've not spoken for a wee while. You've been away and you've been very busy. I suppose, welcome back into the squad. We'll have a look at a chat about maybe some of the changes and how you feel the squad's progressing and how excited you are ahead of the qualifiers. But I suppose for those who don't know, tell us what you've been up to in the last year or so.
So obviously great to be back. Over the last couple months, I was doing my firefighter training down in London with the London Fire Brigade. So we had 11 weeks of pretty solid training, to say. It was definitely a lot more physically and mentally challenging than I ever anticipated, but it was all so good. And now I'm actually based at a station, so currently operationally a firefighter, which has been amazing. Wow. So based at Felton Fire Station nearby Heathrow. So yeah, it's definitely keeping me busy. It's been incredible to go through the training for that and now to actually be operational with such a great watch as well. Some really good people in my station, so it's been
awesome.
Great.
Awesome, congratulations. And was that like a childhood dream? Was it an ambition? Was it a goal? Or was it just something you thought, I'm just going to go for that?
So I've always been really keen to join the emergency services. And when I was in school every Friday, I used to go to college and do an emergency and uniform services course. It was just a vocational pathway thing. So I've always been interested in it and wanted to do something. So I got the opportunity to apply for London Fire Brigade. I've got a few friends in there as well. And obviously my application got accepted and it was just something I couldn't turn down because I knew it's a job that I definitely take, great pride in doing. And so one thing led to another and here we are. It's always been something I've wanted to do. And I'm just glad I could make that a reality.
That's amazing. And because I think last year, rewind the clock back, it wouldn't be a year, almost a year. It came as quite a shock to a lot of us, and I mean the rugby was uncertain obviously during the pandemic anyway, so good on you for just going with it and running with it. But you're obviously back involved in rugby now. You mentioned the training before we move on to the rugby. You mentioned the training being physically and emotionally, mentally harder than you expected. Was it like it'd be totally different to training for rugby, I guess, even the physical nature of it, but what made it so tough?
It was just all so new. Everything was so different, stuff that I, just didn't know about. So it genuinely was learning from scratch. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a bit of a geek in everything that I do. So when I'm learning, I want to learn everything and I want to make sure that I understand everything. So when you've got so much information coming at you in such a short space of time, because 11 weeks isn't long.
Is that the total course, 11 weeks?
Then you're on... you're not just put out in the wild and expected to know everything. It's always a learning process, which is something I also love about the job, is you'll never know everything and everyone has to work together in order for it to work. And that's where your watch come in. And I'm quite fortunate. I've got a really good watch and, I've managed to get a lot of decent training time in at work. My sub officer, Paul Marks, give him a little shout out. Him and I train most days together and we're probably a little bit too competitive for our own good, but it's something that then drives you. So it builds a good culture, and everything I do there is going to benefit me on the pitch and vice versa, I think. So yeah,
is it a gym at the station?
There is. I've definitely made it my own, that's for sure.
and in terms of
as well, so I think everyone's been joined in at something.
Love it. And that's obviously on your watch and your station. But in the training, because you've mentioned the kind of elements of teamwork and support, and there'll be a lot of emotional support for your watch as well, obviously being in emergency services. But throughout the training, as everyone who's training all at the same level, so there's no kind of mentoring really, it's just everybody's at the same level, everybody's fresh for that 11 weeks. So therefore the reliance on your teachers, your coaches, your tutors, whatever the kind of station masters or whatever the training guides are called, you just rely on them for everything. There wouldn't be a lot of kind of shared learning on a peer basis.
I guess like everyone's come from different backgrounds, so everyone can bring something. So obviously we deal with a lot of different shouts, and so everybody might have past knowledge. Like you know, we might have some electricians who again would know a lot to do with that side, and that is a big part of the job as well, because we work with electricity obviously. And then you might have like other people who, you know, are into building construction, and again that's another huge part of the job. So everyone bounces ideas off, so some people in training skill knew more than others. Some, like, you can obviously, when you can be part of a different brigade and work, like, you know, with your pager, and you get call outs every so often. So again, like some people started from scratch, and some people might have been applying for a couple years, so had kind of built up quite a bit of knowledge prior to coming in as well. So it was a good variety of people coming through, and obviously you get thousands and thousands of applicants every time the application process opens. So yeah, like, it was a good mix of people, and everybody brought something different.
Yeah, no, it is a proper team, wasn't it? It's a definition of working together as a team to come to the aid. Is there a face-to-face interview as well, in terms of that? You say there's so many applications, it's difficult to get into, but there'll be a personable element to it as well, and a fitness element to it, and a knowledge element to it.
They were all stressful. There was some online exams that you had to do, maths and English type stuff. You had I had a role play to do on Zoom, which was
what was the topic?
A pregnant woman in a broken down lift. So obviously there's only so much you can do over Zoom. Then when we went in, we again had more maths and English stuff, a calculations exam, because obviously that's a huge part of things that we have to do pretty quickly. And then we had another role play exercise face to face, which again was a bit easier, I think, than it was over Zoom. And then
what was the topic in that one? Was it the same or different?
It was trying to get people to sign up to home fire safety visits, but it was dealing with a challenging member of the public. So it was trying to, like, you know, remain calm, and they were very good actors, I can assure you. And then we had a face-to-face interview. So it was two people, and the interview lasted about an hour, and it was pretty thorough with lots of questions, and you have to give lots of evidence. So you have to have lots of kind of ideas of what you were going to say, and to back up kind of the questions they were asking, and which obviously for me, a lot of what I've done in rugby came in really handy for that.
Well, congratulations, and I say fully fledged serving member of the fire service. So, you know, I say congratulations for that. But we are going to look ahead to the qualifiers. Rachel's going to join us as well. She's just off the training pitch. She must have been doing extras. She's been out longer than you did. I'll let you off. But Rachel's going to join us as well to look ahead to the next three games. But I suppose it'll be nice to be back in the squad and around the squad. It'll be just over a year, really, I suppose, since the last involvement, or there or thereabout. You've just arrived back in, but does it feel like a different squad? Is there any differences? There's obviously similarities, familiar faces. There'll be some new faces. But since you've joined back up, does it feel any different?
We've always been a really focused squad, but there definitely is something different. You can tell that everybody has their heads in the game, and everyone's just switched on and ready. And I noticed that even when I was watching the Six Nations back a couple months ago, like, I could just sense there was something different. Like, there was just so much more of a, like, an awareness of every person on the pitch, which was really good. And then even in camp now, like, everyone's putting their hand up, everyone's stepping in, and everyone's just really focused, which is really, really good to see and to come back into.
How good a watcher were you in the Six Nations? Were you getting frustrated, or were you shouting at the TV, or were you, how was the emotion?
It was a mix of both, you know, like, you just want to see everyone do well, and then you wish you were out there. There were definitely a few tears, you know, of missing it. You had major FOMO every time you kind of watched it as well, and then you'd see all the group chats go. But, you know, it was amazing to be able to watch as well, obviously it being televised, and that was absolutely amazing. So being able to watch it from afar was really good, and there was, you know, a couple of shouting days, and there was a couple of, you know, quiet days. But no, it was good to watch.
I was going to ask, Rachel's joined us now, I was going to ask if you shouted at Rachel, but that knee went pretty early.
even if she did, I probably wouldn't dare, to be honest.
There's respect for your reach. Yeah.
No, I'm very receptive to you.
So you've joined us, Rich. You've been obviously out in the field. It's Tuesday, isn't it, as we record just now. So how's this week going? We seem to have been building up to these qualifiers for years.
Today,
they keep getting moved, but how was today?
Yeah, today, so we had like a socially distanced day yesterday.
Just testing and stuff.
Testing, so we're on pitch, but just pretty low key and in the gym. And then today was the big day, probably our last big day in terms of intensity and meters. This morning was tough. We did an attack session this morning, lots of high intensity stuff. And to be fair, like as players, we came off the pitch and said that's the fastest we've ever trained. Mm-hmm. And the GPS backed it up as well. So like from that point of view, it was a really good session. This afternoon, we had a big defense session. It's kind of how we always run it, with attack in the morning and, mm-hmm. and defense in the afternoon, and a few tired bodies from the morning. So turning the top 2 inches on was quite tough, but we got through it. We got a lot of learning from it. And yeah, we kind of now start to kind of basically, we get real high load at the start of the week generally, and then just kind of drop it down. So tomorrow we'll have a unit session and then a clarity session in the afternoon, which will be still a fair bit of running around, but more like kind of learning, and that theme kind of carries on for the rest of the week. So good day.
And that the big bit of what you said there was just when you are fatigued, when you are having to work in defense and make really crucial decisions, when you are fatigued, that stuff we've spoken about before is trying to replicate, because you've not had, we keep saying, exposure to too many games. But that's important, isn't it? Those decisions under pressure, in defence, when you're fatigued, when it's the second session of the day, that's quite realistic to what you'll find in the games, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's probably why our sessions are structured that way, that we have our real high intensity session in the morning to almost give us that a bit of fatigue in the legs and in the brain as well, so that we do get a little bit more real life kind of scenarios in terms of that. And we do tend to do quite a lot of contact in the Tuesday session. So there's a lot of kind of game scenarios, which are full contact, which again, like you say, makes us make those decisions. And today we were trying to replicate playing against Italy. So looking at kind of the shapes that we have seen them play. So that was actually really good. It was really good learning. So yeah, but yeah, super important to do when you're a bit tired.
And Jade, when was the last game you played? I mean, obviously been training and fit, but like the last, in terms of on the field on the game, would it have been
October 2020 against France?
30 was it?
Went out of high.
30 draw, let me just say.
Sets up the winner and off she goes. Oh. Or the winner, I say winner. The drawing try.
We'll take that.
The winning draw.
So does that make you nervous, or does it build the excitement even more?
Obviously, it makes me nervous. Like, so much has happened since I've been away. And everyone's sharp as well. So, you know, you've definitely got to come in. You've got to, you know, definitely put your foot down and, you know, earn a place, which is what, you know, everyone fully intends to do. So it is going to be difficult coming back. I'm definitely, you know, when I first came back, felt a bit rusty. But, you know, we've had internal games and some camps, and, you know, we've had a really good chunk of time together, which is absolutely amazing that the union have, like been able to make that happen. So, you know, I'm not coming in having not touched a rugby ball.
Yeah.
Left. Albeit some days it feels like that. Like, obviously playing, you know, against Italy is going to be probably a big shock to the system, but, you know, I've been in the squad 9 years now.
Yeah.
I think I hadn't lost that much over a couple of months. You know, I've been
I've been out injured
longer than I've been away at the moment.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm kind of used to having those breaks, because, you know, we all break sometimes, but.
Jade's rusty is still Jade carrying it, like.
I'm scared. You're delighted she wasn't at the contact session.
As soon as she came back in for internal games, everyone's like, oh god, here we go. So yeah, she's not rusty.
No, and what else, I suppose that's I mean, we know that, we've seen the quality before and we'll see it again, but in terms of you as a skipper, Rach, what does Jade bring, and not just on the field but off the field as well, with that 9 years experience? But there's a lot she can help you with as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, obviously on the pitch, Jade gives us a wee bit of go forward, even, you know, not always a wee bit, but a big bit of go forward when, you know, your back's against the wall, you know, you're parched in your 22 or in your half, and, you know, she's a trusty pair of hands and feet to get you a bit of go forward and get you a platform. So that's massive for us as a squad. But like you say, like, with our experience and so much kind of knowledge around the game as well from the time she's played, it just gives me an extra leader on the pitch as well, an extra voice, someone to give me support around decision making and stuff like that, which, to be fair, I think as a squad we're probably in the best position in terms of leaders on the pitch at the moment than we've been in a while, both because of people putting their hand up and stepping up, but also having a fully fit squad at the minute. So no, she just adds to that experience and that leadership group, which is brilliant.
Cool. And when do you head off? You're still in Edinburgh at the moment in camp, but is it Thursday, Friday you head off?
Friday. Yeah. So a couple more days here training, and then what day is it today? Tuesday. We've got two more days. And then yeah, off on Thursday. So we won't train. No, Friday, sorry. We leave first thing Friday.
Exciting times, eh? And then the three games in quick succession, Jade, as well. So it's an intense period. We've spoken to Rachel, you know, a couple of times about this, but it's three games each 6 days apart. So that momentum's going to be crucial, getting off to a good start. And obviously Italy did well, probably we said maybe poorest game of the Six Nations, really. So that, you know, a bit to put right from there. And then the games come thick and fast, so you'll be relishing that return.
Yeah, definitely. And it's three tough games, three games against oppositions, all of which, you know, we definitely have to fully fight for that 80 minutes and work for every single inch that we make on that pitch. But ultimately, we have also beaten every one of those oppositions before, you know, over the last couple of years as well. Like, we're not talking, you know, 10 years ago, like over the last couple of years, they have been such competitive games that you never know who's going to come out on top. And I think that's really exciting. And I think, you know, having the 6 days between the games as well, and it being a round robin tournament, so being able to analyse the opposition we're playing next based on what they've just played will be absolutely key in our build up to the games. But momentum is going to be key, and everyone being on the same page is going to be key. And with all the kind of, you know, build up and the coaches and all the stuff that everyone's doing behind the scenes are putting us in the best possible place for this, you know, big 3 week block. So, you know, we're definitely in probably the most strongest place. This will be the third time I've been involved in a qualifier, but we have probably never been this ready. I think it's, you know, everything that's happened behind the scenes, despite the several setbacks over the last 18 months, we're in a really good place for it. And, you know, like, I think we are going in such a great place. So it's going to be a really exciting 3 weeks. And, you know, we've got such an incredible squad that's been selected, and every single person is going to put their hand up and make a difference in that team, which will be fantastic.
I think as well, like, from like my point of view, I think Jade touched on like the work away from the training pitch, the work as a squad, like that we've put in the hours in front of computers. Like, I don't think we've ever had that level of kind of application from the whole 28 ever. You know, we're spending a lot of time in small groups, in bigger groups, chatting rugby like 24/7. Like, I personally don't think I felt more prepared individually in terms of analysis and preparation or as a squad. But, and I think like that just shows how much, you know, this means to this squad, which is brilliant because of how much work people are putting in away from, not only just like trying to work hard on the pitch, which is almost the easy bit sometimes, but also coming back after sessions and spending a huge amount of time analysing and doing everything they can to be prepped in terms of who we're playing the opposition. So as a leader, that's made life like so much easier because we're not nagging people to do and go and get their knowledge in, like that part of it. People know their stuff better than we've ever had. So like Jade says, like, we do feel ready. We're kicked and ready to go.
No wonder. That's exactly why you train. It's exactly why you prepare. So when the moment comes, you're ready to deliver and you can do it. So it has been a long wait, but we said every time we thought the games were around the corner, we wish the best. You're definitely in a great position. It's going to be exciting to follow the progress, and everybody wishes you well.
Thanks, looking forward to it.
So it's great to have Jade back on the podcast, and it'll be great to have her back in the squad as well. You can hear there, like, her training sounds amazing, their application, their determination to get through that. And I say, full-fledged member of the fire service in London, but closer to home, it's brilliant that she's back and involved in the squad, isn't it?
Yeah, no, like I said before, she brings something a bit different, I think. As I said, I think last week as well, you know, she carries more than anyone in world rugby. Like, and when she doesn't just carry, she carries
effective
really,
as well.
Really effectively. So, you know, that's massive for us in just getting us a platform and allowing, you know, we want to play fast rugby, we want to play our quick breakdowns, we want to get the ball out to our fast backs, but if we don't have a platform, if we don't have a bit of game line, it's such, it's so tough to do that. So having someone like her come in and add to, we've got good carriers in the team, but just adding, sharing the workload.
And it's great to see how passionate she is about her new role.
You know, like having someone outside rugby is important, but like having something that you are, you know, that excited about when she talks about it, and you know, she does a lot of work on camp as well, and she's still doing a bit of prep and stuff like that. And yeah, it's nice to see, and it's super important for her future as well. And yeah, it's cool.
The Fosrock Super Six resumes this weekend, a weekend break last week. Friday night, Watsonians versus Heriots. That's a kind of rerun of a couple of weeks ago where Heriots got that big win really against tabletoppers Watsonians. You were at the Watsonians Knights game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you were quite impressed, you said, with the Watsonians.
Yeah, I thought they managed the game really well. They played in the right areas of the pitch, they made good decisions in the right areas of the pitch, and I think they forced Knights into a lot of errors, and Knights were kind of in that negative cycle of just compounding errors with errors. You know, they stayed in it in the first half, and then, you know, the second half, they, like you say, they had a tight turnaround from the previous game, and you could tell the second half they were just not dealing with the pressure that they were getting under. But what I was impressed with Watsonians was they had the ability to attack from everywhere. You know, their set piece looked really aggressive, it looked really dangerous, but then, you know, I was sat behind the post and they had options everywhere across their back line as well. You know, it was kind of a matter of who was going to score rather than, you know, if they were going to score. It was quite funny watching their 15, I think he was going mad because the forwards just kept keeping it in the in the line out or picking and going when there was just tons of room elsewhere. But they got over the line in the end most of the time. So no, I was really impressed with them, and yeah, excited to see how they go.
No, it's an interesting one that I say, because Heriot's won well, wasn't it, in the two rounds ago, and that was the kind of Edmonton derby. It's obviously back at Myerside on Friday night and and BBC iPlayer and BBC Scotland, so that'll be an interesting one. There'll be a bit between the teeth for the Watsonians boys, I think. And then Saturday's games, Ayrshire Bulls versus Stirling, which is a really important game. Ayrshire Bulls got that big win, they needed it really, against Heriot's last time out. Stirling got that last second win against Ayr the week before, so there's a bit of settlement there, or a bit of, I suppose, but there's an edge to that. No, not an edge in terms of, you know, niggle, but just when games are decided so late, like the last one between the two, that'll have a knock-on effect in this one, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's with it being a shorter league as well, like as soon as it gets kind of a little bit of the way through it, you can hear the way the boys talked about it a couple of weeks ago, you know, there is a bit of niggle behind it, and that's brilliant. That's exactly what you want. You don't, you want to go in and have every game with that little bit of added pressure and fight and a little bit of chat around it as well. So no, I think definitely it will be another grudge match.
Nah, that's a big one for me in terms of league positions. Like, I don't think Stirling or Ayr could afford to kind of lose again.
No.
And keep in the hunt, really. I mean, they could, but it'd be difficult to keep in the hunt for that top two space. So that's a big, big game down at Millbury Saturday. And then the free sports game on Sundays from Megaland, Burnmuir Bears take on Southern Knights. Bears had a really good win last time out. Yeah. They got the reward for the reward they weren't getting in the previous weeks, where they were playing well but not getting the win. They got the win, and Knights will be frustrated with, as you say, that game against Watsons, where they did fall away a little bit in the second half just after that 5-day turnaround. Sean Gannon picked up a yellow card in that period that you talk about where the game was just going away from them. So they'll be fired up for the game on Sunday as well.
I think that's an important one as well, because Southern Knights are kind of on a bit of, over the last couple of games, a wee bit of a downward trajectory, whereas Bears are obviously in the opposite direction. So, you know, it's an important one for Knights not to, you know, look at Bears as a team who've only got, is it one win they've got? Or is it
2 wins. That was a second win. They won the opening weekend as well, didn't they?
So, as you know, a team that's going to be an easy game, but, you know, they are a team that are playing consistently well, and they've been really close a couple of times. So I think, you know, Knights really need to look at their performance and kind of try and push it on in this weekend to keep pushing forward, I guess.
Especially off the back. Yes, especially off the back of defeat, as you say, last time. Yeah. And in the game before that, this was obviously a rerun of the fixtures that were kind of 2 rounds ago.
Yeah.
Burmuir Bears were down at the Green Yards and did everything but win. And then in the end, didn't even get a losing bonus point. I mean, the Knights were pretty poor by their own admission in the first half that day. Bears got nothing from it. So as I say, we talk about that niggle, we talk about that leave it bit between the teeth between the teams. All three games will have that this weekend, and I say going into round six of a 10-week regular season, it becomes really important to pick up those wins and not to fall adrift. Well, we're delighted now to be joined by Ross Cook, Sports Market Manager at Macron and also Chief Operating Officer of Macron, Paolo Guzzardi. Great to have you along, guys. We launched the Scotland kit launch today for season 21-22, and we'll get our teeth into that in a moment or so. So many new innovations around it and exciting developments around it. It looks great as well. But first of all, Ross, I'll come to you and just say that, you know, we've got this long-standing relationship. Off the top of my head, I don't know how long it is now between Macron and Scottish Rugby. You'll remind me. Yeah. You've been involved along. I mean, just a quick summary, really, of how that relationship's developed and changed over the years.
Yeah, so we sort of originally started our relationship with, it was actually with Edinburgh. Back in...
I was one of your first guinea pigs, I think.
Yeah, exactly. He was. So that was back in, I think it was 2009, was when that began. And then from there, obviously that, you know, developed further on. I think, you know, it was right that you know, we needed to develop ourselves in rugby, because rugby is not it's not an easy sport to dress, you know, in the sense that you have to have very sort of technical articles that are rigid enough. So from there, you know, we went on, and I think it's 2014 we did a sort of a three-way sponsorship with Scottish Rugby, Edinburgh Rugby and Glasgow Warriors. And yeah, so from there, it's been fantastic. You know, it was great. You know, both myself and Paolo were there at the very beginning. We were in meetings with all of your technical staff, and, you know, how can we develop this? How can we make this better? And we had very, very long and stressful nights trying to obviously the level of where, you know, top class international team needs to be. So yeah, an exciting time in rugby.
It's exciting. And you've been on the podcast before reciting your playing days, really, in Scotland, with numerous clubs in Hoyk and Burmuir and Reavers, etc. But we'll go back to that, Ross, because it just highlights how old we are. But Paolo, I mean, it's exciting to see that the new kit launched today for the season. But I mean, it looks great, it feels great, but the feel of it is definitely different, isn't there? There's real innovations in terms of sustainability and the kind of green credentials, the eco credentials. This is really something new and quite groundbreaking from kit developers, isn't it?
Yes, as usual, we wanted to introduce many features on the new kits. So and we did even this year. So the first feature is to introduce some new color palette. So we introduced the salty blue and the thistle purple on some details on the kits. You have seen in the cuff, in the side panels, inserts, in the neck, so many details. We love details, and we are sure that always make the difference. So we keep the fitting, the body fitting as usual, with the performance body fabrics as well, but we develop a new athletic bespoke round neck collar. This is really new and bespoke. Another newly feature that you can see is on the rear panel. You see a big embossed panel made that takes made up of parts of the Scotland logo. So we are, I mean, we're pushing this kind of technology on embossing, and on this new kit, we enlarge and we make it very big in the bottom part. The last very newly key feature is to introduce a new developed eco-fabrics. Mm. 1 year ago, our R&D department started developing in 100% polyester recycled fabrics that must be the same performance as the previous one, because the fitting has to be body, the performance has to be there. And we developed and we launched this year all the both fabrics on the kit, eco fabrics. Consider that for one jersey, we are using 13 PET bottle waters of recycled polyester.
Wow.
We are using not only for the jersey, but even for the short. And this is only our starting point to introduce eco fabrics. In the short term, we are already developing, for example, even socks in an 100% polyamide regenerated fabric.
Wow.
100% certified made in Italy. So even this 100%, even this fabric on the jersey is under the GRS standards, to the global recycled standards. So it's totally, so the supply chain is full certified, but even the performance must be and must remain the same as usual as in the past. So I think this, the last due, of course, is the new sponsor logo on the front, the Peter Vargin. And that's all. I mean, I think we introduce many, many new features on the kit.
And how, I mean, it's, how difficult is it to provide that level of performance with so much innovation in terms of the recycle nature of it? That must be a big challenge. Only 1 year you completed all this in 1 year's development?
Yes, we last year we launched our internal program that is called the Macro for the Planet program, and it's a program that is 360 degrees commitment, not only in terms of materials but even in terms of well-being in the place where you work. The welfare and all the, I mean, even on the our headquarter facility, the new headquarter facility has been built under this approach. Mm-hmm. Under approach that we called the 3R approach. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Mm-hmm. And this is something that of course, it's 1 year started on the product, on the fabric wise. We already developed many fabrics, not all, but many fabrics. We moved to a 100% packaging, polyester packaging recycled. And it's only the first year. I mean, our R&D department, we fix. And we built a committee, a Micro for the Planet committee, with some even R&D people. So it's hard, but if it's if the strategy is clear and the people are committed, it's something that we are very excited to move on.
Yeah, absolutely. It's brilliant to hear that, and the responsibility and the sustainability nature of that driving from within. It's fantastic. Big changes, Ross, in terms of, you know, fabric and that, you know, I suppose, development in design or landscape of the kit itself. How's that landscape changed over the last few years, Ross? You've been there a long time. Is it a bigger demand for performance, or is there a greater demand, like you guys have fallen on, the sustainability and the responsibility of big manufacturers?
Well, there's a bit, the strange thing is, so what we try to do as Macron is we create a bespoke collection for everyone. So mm-hmm. everyone has their own specific, unique style of, in which they like to play. So, you know, performance is a huge part.
In all different sports as well.
In every sport, you know, so we have, you know, there's all completely new fabrics for each different sport specific. And then on top of that, you know, you've got to make sure from a fitting point of view that you're, you know, someone that plays basketball is not the same fitting size as someone that plays handball, for example. Mm-hmm. So there's all these challenges and the idiosyncrasies that go into it. But yeah, we see sort of trends in sort of from a design point of view. We try to keep very, I would say, fashion forward. Our design team regularly visit. So for example, they're always looking at the PT Festival in Milan. They're always looking at the Milan Fashion Week, etc. So we try to make sure that we're very current in what is the new future of from a design point of view. But the way that what we try to offer is we try to offer the ability for each club, every international team, to have what they specifically need. So so you know, some people like a slim fit garment. Some people prefer a complete body fit garment. I prefer the slim fit. but yeah, these are the kind of things that we look into. But yeah, no, it's very sort of exciting times, you know. Just you know, there's a lot of things going on.
I suppose the other thing as well is, how proud are you and how much excitement do you get from not only seeing the teams, because you both have a close link to the teams in terms of the product, but when you see the fans wearing it, walking to games on the TV, in the stands, that must make you feel pretty proud, and you must get a boost from that as well, I guess, both of you, Paolo.
Hugely. I mean, you know, that is, shall we say, that is the end result. You know, the moment any kit is launched, I'm sitting, I trail through all various different social media. So, you know, I want to make sure that people are actually happy with what we're putting together. But yeah, that is the greatest one, is, you know, walking up to, you know, on the walk up to BT Murrayfield, and you literally just see just the amount of fans that are there all wearing the new kit. It's a hugely proud moment. You know, so from our point of view, it's very exciting. So I think, you know, there's lots of you know, exciting things that we've got to come. We've got a lot of new things that we want to be showing, you know, to the fans as well. You know, Paul has been talking about the development. You know, we've got lots of new things. We've got a new, you know, an athleisure and a running range that we're trying to develop in to the various different collections. We've got a paddle range, which is a new one. That's paddle is a new sport that's sweeping the world just now. So, you know, these are all sort of new. We're constantly looking to try and diversify and move into different areas, but at the same time, we want to make sure that each sport is very specific to what it's what it actually requires.
And Paolo, we've spoken about the kind of eco-credentials of the kit and the performance and the development, but there's huge progression in the new headquarters in Bologna as well, isn't there? There's a real kind of eco-friendly strategy overarching your new facilities in Bologna.
Yes, 2 years ago we decided to build our new home, and so now we are very proud now to be in the new headquarter that is 3 times bigger. So 6,000 square meters of main offices and 16,000 square meters of distribution center.
Wow.
Plus 1,000 meters of internal courtyard. So we are very proud of that. It has been a huge investment, mm-hmm. But this is a clear proof on how Macron wants to grow, wants to be able to have the base to grow. Mm-hmm. The headquarters has been certified as a BREEAM certification as excellent. This is the best score, and is a certification related to the feature on the health, well-being, energy, water, waste, pollution, land use, ecology. I want to give you some numbers. We installed 350 kilowatt of photovoltaic panels. where it allows us to be autonomous in the summertime, where the sun exposure is the top, and to minimize our energy power use in the wintertime. Our focus is to save 250,000 kg of CO2 emissions per year.
Wow.
We set up internally, externally, a full LED lighting with the sensor presence in order to minimize as well the energy consumption. And even on that, we can save 50,000 kg of CO2 emission per year. We are green, so we built 20,000 square meter of grass. 20,000 square meter with the 8 automatic cutting robot machines.
That was my next question. Do you have to cut the grass? No.
Yes, we are very green.
Yeah, luckily there's a machine that does it for us. It's a little robot machine.
I thought it may be a lunch hour roast.
I thought that was going to be my new role, was head greenkeeper.
Yes, but this is innovation as well. according to water consumption, we build a well to use the underground water and to build a 150 cubic meter of underground tank to collect the rainwater in order to use water for toilet and water for the irrigation, because you can understand the water consumption from 20,000 square meter of grass. Only using a rainwater, so not having a public filtered water to be used. We are a plastic-free company in terms of PET water bottle usage. So in the offices, we have only many filtered water machines, so not the plastic bottles.
Yeah.
And here we can save 100,000 PET water bottles per year, for example. We are paperless packaging company. So all the documents, all the packages, all the documents in the packaging are only electronics. So no paper in the company. We built 6 fast charging stations for the electric and hybrid cars. And last, we fixed 4 big compactors for the waste. So in terms of wood, in terms of plastic, in terms of paper and carton box. So we think that we invest a lot, even on the important on a sustainable way to work and to invest.
Wow, it's just it's such a brilliant example to set and so well thought out, and you know, making it sustainable, and just it's just an excellent example that I assume others will follow. I've no doubt with the kind of groundbreaking innovation there.
And even our employees are very excited on that. Yeah. I mean, they can see clearly what it means to be sustainable, to work for the environment. So not words, but facts. And even the space, we have fully open space with the massive use of glass. We have 1,000 square meter of internal courtyard. So even for the welfare, the employee, I mean, can touch and can live on the environment that we are sure is. Think is the best that we can.
Yeah, well done. I can see how much it means to you as well. You've got, you know, we're on video phone. We can see the big smile as you, deliver this.
Because I followed those investments from 2 years ago, so I'm really proud and excited to see all our 200 employees working in this way. Lastly, we have. Two gym, one internal restaurant. So not a
excuse me, one gym, One gym designed by...
by Mr. Cook.
Yes, I've got a plaque on the wall and everything.
And the second is for the lady lessons.
This is the thing, as you find, so our CEO quite often comes to us and he says, I've got a project for you. And it sounds so exciting. And then you realize the project he gave to me was to design along with two of my colleagues to design one of our gyms. And the project he gave to Paolo said, I know you're not an architect, but can you build us a brand new HQ? So these are the lovely projects we get.
You love a challenge, don't you? Now tell me, Ross, have you used the gym yet, though, Ross?
Oh, well, there's a great vending machine beside it. I'm using that regularly, but it's great. To be honest, it's really good. You know, it's the challenges we've had during COVID. Using it is difficult, but you know, we've had to put together an integrated app system to allow only certain people to go in at a certain time. But no, it's been great because you know that, as Paolo was saying, you know, the whole part of the eco is also a part of well-being, and you know, how can we make so this is where we've got, you know, these two separate. So one of them is, shall we say, one is your sort of standard gym with, you know, all your weights machines and free weights, etc. And then there's another one that's much more, it's actually virtual. You've literally got a sort of virtual wall as well where you can actually do all your various different courses online. So
Chris, you are more than welcome to come here.
You've sold it to me, Paolo. I'll be there tomorrow. Now listen, I say congratulations once again. It's a massive project. I can see how much it means to you, and I can also see from what you're both saying how much it means to your employees, not only in terms of the sustainability of it, but in terms of the welfare as well and the well-being. So setting a brilliant example, and I will be over at some point. I'll come and try it out. You're obviously been involved in rugby for a long time, going back right back to 2009 with Edinburgh Rugby, but you've got involved in a lot of national teams as well as club teams as well in rugby. You're certainly spreading your wings.
Yeah, so you know, firstly, when Scotland was our first international team back in 2014, and for me, a very, very proud moment to be able to be the technical and retail partner for my home nation. But yeah, from there we've moved and we've also sort of developed further in the international. So we've now obviously got three of the six teams within the Six Nations. So both Welsh Rugby Union as well as the Italian national team as well. And we've added in, you know, others. So we've the Canadian national team that played against Wales in the summer tour. We've got Romania is just coming on board, Georgia coming on board, Germany, Portugal. And we've got a very big international announcement that will hopefully be coming in the coming months. Then from there, we've got, you know, in the English Premiership, we've got sort of four clubs in the Premiership. So you know, Falcons, Saints, Bath and we've just announced Sale Sharks that have come on board. Whereas in the Pro 14, we've got, you know, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Scarlets, Cardiff Rugby, Zebra, and we shall be announcing very imminently another one that will be for the 21-22 season. And then obviously over in France, we've got the top 14. We've got four teams over there in the top French league. Yeah, and we've moved across, and so we've gone into rugby league. So we're over in the NRL. We've got the Parramatta Eels going very well in the NRL as well as we've moved into AFL. We have Port Adelaide, which is Aussie rules. But yeah, rugby is now, you know, we were probably originally known for much more of a football brand, but you know, rugby is. You know, it's punching just alongside the sort of football sponsorships. So, you know, of the 100 sponsorships we've got across the globe, you know, there's a very high percentage of that is now rugby.
That's all from us this week on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. Thank you so much for listening. The new Scotland kit is available exclusively from both Scottish Rugby stores at BT Murrayfield and in Glasgow, or online at shop.scottishrugby.org from Thursday, the 9th of September.